Hey, everybody. How are you all doing tonight? Just out of curiosity. I need more of an answer, you guys. I need to read you guys. There we go. Thank you. All right, good. As you guys have heard, my name is Augustine. I'm obviously not from around here. I'm from the California church, and when I guess in a way I kind of like semi-volunteered for today's service. But when I found out that I was doing it, I was trying to figure out what the theme was for this year's camp, and I never got a clear answer, so they just told me to do anything. Yeah, and when I looked at the camp like theme, I think it was like 2 days ago, I couldn't have picked a more, I don't want to say perfect, but just a theme, or at least what I'm talking about tonight, that just goes so well with it. And at least I believe this is the theme, is the following our Father's footsteps. And what I decided to talk about tonight is actually in 1 Corinthians 13:13. So if you could all go there with me. And it reads, "And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." And what better way to follow in our Father's footsteps than to follow these three things? And one of the few questions I want to ask you guys is, what makes these things so important in our lives? What do they mean to us? And I personally think most of us know that answer, and it's because that's kind of who we're meant to be. We're supposed to be loving. We're supposed to be full of faith. We're supposed to have this hope. But because a lot of us have probably grown up with the church, those three words kind of have lost their meaning. We've kind of just taken them for granted. We forget how to love. We forget how to act on faith. We even forget what our hope is. And I want to address these things because as Christians, oftentimes we find these things to be fairly simple things. We think they might be easy to do, easy to achieve, easy to see, to notice. But in reality, it's not. These things are very difficult to attain, very difficult to achieve. But through knowing God and having a community of believers around you to help us grow, to help us be a better person, to be a better Christian that we can be, having those things makes these three things so much easier. And I'm going to start with what Corinthians calls the greatest of these, love. Now, if I was to ask you, what is love? I'm probably going to get two answers. One's more of a joke. You know, baby, don't hurt me. But anyway, I mean that, or the romantic kind of love that people seen most days, you know, we'll hear people are out on a date or, you know, that kind of thing. And there's nothing wrong with romantic love, but this isn't the love that we feel through Jesus. This is not the love that we feel through our relationship with God. And through my study, I found that there's really only two words that can really define what that love really means. And those words are unconditional, meaning regardless of what we do. And I love how Alethea and the girls that came up here, you could truly feel the love coming from them. There was, those kids were always saying, you know, they love, how could he love me? And honestly, if you think about it, how could he love us? We've done so much against him. Every sin, everything is a direct disobedience to God. We've basically thrown dirt in his face. Yet he still loves us. I mean, think about that. That's just amazing. And then there's also the word unrelenting. And this is one of my favorite ones because it just means it doesn't stop. It keeps coming after us. Regardless of what we've done, it'll always go to us, that love. And just to show you kind of just what more of this means, I want to go to Psalms because I know King David was a man after God's own heart, and he really puts these words into my heart because it kind of shows you a picture of like just who we are and compared to God. And it says in verses 3-6, chapter 8, sorry, thank you. And it says, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet." I mean, we who have done so much against him, he put us in such a high place. He loves us that much that he wants to have this relationship, this love for us. I mean, in John 3:16, it just shows you how much he sent his only begotten son that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And that promise of eternal life is so important because it just shows that relationship. He wants to be with us forever. He wants us to get to know him in eternity. And that love that we feel from him, that love that he gives to us so freely, is something that I feel is kind of lost within the church, because this is the same kind of love that we need to share with the world. This is the love that we need to have for each other. We have to be able to love each other regardless of anything any one of us might do to harm someone else or against someone. We have to be able to love the way that he loved us. And you'll find that love is kind of this glue that brings us together and also brings faith and hope together. And I've heard it said in many other ways that, you know, without love, many times we're bankrupt. And what I mean by that is you can convince a crowd, you can sing and praise amazingly, you can do miracles. But if you don't have love, if you don't have that God-given love, if you don't have that within you to give out to others, you are bankrupt. You don't have that thing that, you know, drives us forward. And now let's talk about faith. What is faith to us? What do we define that? What do we think about faith? What is it for us? And I found that the best definition for it is in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. If you could all go there with me. I know I'm cheating. I have bookmarks in all these verses, so don't worry. And it says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." And I love this definition mostly because, I mean, that's what it is. We can't see God. It's like the air. We can't see the air. We can feel it every now and then when there's like a nice breeze blowing by, like right now. Or we've known about it because I guess we've been able to study something we can't see. But God is very similar in the fact that we can feel God in our lives. We can experience him and bring him into our life. But faith in and of itself, I found, is not enough. I mean, faith is good, and there's nothing wrong with it, but I feel like there has to be more to it. Because believing in something that's not there, I mean, that's great, but if that's all there is to it, what does that mean? And I found that the best answer for that is in James chapter 2. Verses 17-19. And it says, "In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith with what I do. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. And don't misunderstand what I'm saying, that these deeds will gain your salvation in some way, because it's not. There's more to it than just that. I mean, salvation is gained through just grace, being able to accept Jesus into our lives, just giving him that open door to come into our lives and fill it. But faith can only be shown through actions. It's fine to say, you know, like, I believe in Christ, I believe that he died for us. But if we can't show that faith through love, if we can't show the world what faith really means, then it really is all pointless. I mean, and what I love about faith too is that it goes so well with love. Love compels us to do these actions of faith. It shows us and pushes us into those actions of faith. So amazing. And then finally, we have hope. And I found that hope, from what I've looked up, is expecting or feeling of expectation and a desire for a certain thing to happen. And that's what, you know, most people hope for. Like, when people hope for a well-paying job, or hope for a car or a house, or oftentimes we'll hope for more time with it in our lives. But those are things that we may never get. Those are things that will pass eventually. We're not always going to have that car. We're not always going to have that house. We're not always going to have that job. And for us as Christians, hope is something much more than just maybe getting something. We take it more as a certainty. We take it as something that will happen whenever that is. And our hope isn't more than just knowing that God is there. It's that we hope that he will be with us forever. And I've found that this is kind of a general statement, but it works in so many ways. When we have hope that he is with us forever, we have hope that he's with us now and tomorrow and so forth and into eternity. And what I find so beautiful about this is that it kind of goes along with that relentlessness in love, is that he's always going to be there in the good times, in the bad. He will be there to pick us up, to comfort us, and just to always be with us. Now, this year for me has been very difficult. I'll be honest, this might have been one of the toughest years for me, because so much crazy things have happened. So many things I probably never would have expected happened to me. I mean, about a year ago, my grandfather passed. And then between that, my dog died. And then my grandma died about a few months ago. And just all of that at once can fill a man with so much doubt, so much hate, and so much anger, because you wonder, why does this all happen? Why is this going on in my life? Why do I have to go through this suffering? And what's worse is that with each of those, there was something that was definitely lost. Like with my grandpa, he was one of the greatest people I've ever known. He was a great spiritual leader in my life. The way he spoke about God, the way he spoke about his love, he always spoke it with so much passion, so much just amazement and joy, that it would stir people's hearts. And for me, it was a great help when I was at church. I would always see him talking with my dad or with other elders, and he would always just bring a smile on everybody's face. And then my dog, he would always be there to comfort me when I had a really long day and I just was tired. He was always there as a little pick-me-up, comfort me, and just be there with me. And then my grandma, in many ways, she was like a second mom to me. When I was little, I would always go to her house, and she would take care of me and my cousins. She would always make sure that we had everything we needed. I don't think I've ever had a terrible day with her. She was the best. She had the best sense of humor. And it really does hurt when you go to places and you expect to see them there, and they're not. Like, I'll go to church, and I won't see my grandpa talking to my dad. And it gives you a moment of pause and just realize that, he's not there. And same thing with my dog. A lot of times I'll be the first person back home, and he'll be there waiting, scratching on the back window, just wanting to let me in. But then I'll get home nowadays, and it's just quiet. A really eerie quiet that kind of just sinks in. And with my grandma, I'll often go to my cousin's house where she lived, and I'll expect to see her doing something around the house, either making food, or oftentimes she'd be in her room watching Hispanic soap operas or novelas. And I'll go there now, and, none of that's going on. She's not there, and it brings you down to this really dark place, because these people that you cared about, that have basically raised you and been there for you, aren't there anymore. But then when I was going through this study and going through these three things of love, faith, and hope, you realize that there's more to the story than just those people being gone. The love that I had for these people was beyond something that I had for most other people. But I also had to have love for God, because he gave them peace in their suffering. And it's not an easy thing to do, because I did see them suffer. I did see them go through tremendous amounts of pain. But to see them at peace, to see them, not have to go through so much pain, is something that just really, in a sense, gives me peace. And I'm thankful to God that they don't have to suffer anymore, that they don't have to go through any more pain. And my faith was definitely something that suffered through all this, because it definitely brought in a lot of doubt in my heart. Why did they have to go through all this? Why did my family have to go through all this? I feel terrible for my little sister, because she basically grew up with the dog. They were, there wasn't a time in her life up until recently that the dog wasn't there. Those two were so close, and to see that pain build up within her was unbearable. But I had faith, knowing that he brought us so much joy. He brought us so much closer as a family, because, he cared for all of us in some way. And also with my grandma, it was difficult to see her go through as much pain as she did. And that really does put so much doubt in your heart. But good does come from these things. My cousins, for a long time, they would not speak to each other. I would go to their house, and they would walk by each other. They might acknowledge each other, but they would never say a word. And for those of you who know Josh and Aldo, those two, they wouldn't speak. I think they hadn't spoken for about, 3 years. And it's hard to believe, but it was difficult to watch. But with my grandma passing, those two, I don't know what it was, but it really brought them together. And now that I see them, they're finally able to talk, to be comfortable with each other, and just be there for each other. I haven't seen them so happy, so together as a family. And it brings joy to my heart and kind of renewed my faith that not everything is, all this death, all this loss goes to waste. And then with my grandpa, it was the same. A lot of my aunts and uncles from that side of the family are, they weren't exactly churchgoers. They weren't very consistent, or they wouldn't really come at all. But ever since that happened, a lot of them started coming back. A lot of them started bringing their children and just seeing them coming closer to God, finding comfort in something that I had put doubt in, renewed my strength. It renewed my faith to be able to see them come close to God. And then my hope, by seeing all these things, was just replenished once more, because I knew that I would see them again. I knew that one day I would be able to have those long talks with my grandpa, or share a joke with my grandma, or just be able to play with my dog once more, you know? But just living through this year, being able to be here with you guys, being able to just share these experiences, I found that I'm able to share this love with you guys, because even though I might say I love you guys may not feel it or not, but I really do. I care for each and every single one of you. I care for your spiritual life. I care about you as a person. I really do. And I challenge you tonight that whatever might be troubling you guys, whatever might be, you might be lacking of these three things, that you can just come forward here and just pray about it. I really do encourage you that tonight be that night that you let love back into your life. You let your faith grow. If you feel that desire to step forward here and just to pray, I would encourage you to take it, because without love, without faith and hope, we don't have that driving force, that thing that keeps us going as Christians. And I just hope that you guys can take something from this, that in your life that you can just be able to love others the way God has loved us. And not just the people here in this building, not just the people in your local churches, but the people around us, to show them love, a love that never ends, a love that has no conditions, a love that just really is endless. And to be able to show them your faith through those actions and show them who God truly is, that he's a God that has an amazing hope for us. He has something that he wants to share in that relationship with us in eternity, to be able to get to know him, to love him, and to be with him. So once again, I really do encourage you guys to, you know, come forward here to pray. And if you are lacking one of these three things, pray for that to be a part of your life again. Or if you just feel the need to just to pray about anything that's troubling you in your life, please do. And as I close, I wanted to pray just for everybody here and everyone who couldn't make it as well, just so that they could feel God's love, and that their faith can be renewed, and that their hope will keep on going and pushing them forward in their lives. So I'm asking if you can all join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for this beautiful day, that we were able to share your word, share these songs and worship, and just to be in your presence here today, Lord. I just ask that you bless each and every single person that's here, that you can show them your love if they haven't seen your love in a while, that you can build up their faith so they can continue to act on faith, and that you can renew their hope in their lives, Lord, that you can remind them that you're always there for them in the worst of times, in the best of times, that no matter what happens in this life, you're here to comfort us, to love us, and just to be here with us, Lord. And I just ask a special prayer for this church, that we can truly be a church that loves and is able to grow on each other's faith, and in this community that we can truly just grow and build on each other, and being able just to love you and just show that love to this world that you came to save. And I just ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.